So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
In a minute, it's going to be time for GC Kids and Creche. Just some notices before you wend your way that way. This week, there's home groups, Wednesday, Thursday. Again, if you're not in a home group, we'd love you to be part of one. Come and speak to me after the service. We can get that.
Right. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, as we open the Word of God this morning, and as we read it, Lord, would you prepare our hearts so that we hear clearly what you want us to hear, what you want to say to us. We pray, Father, that even as we're sitting here, that the Holy Spirit would be changing our hearts, would be transforming us. Holy Spirit, would you magnify and glorify the Son of God this morning? In his name we pray. Amen. Is there a particular person that you like to go walking with? Walking with someone else can be a lovely experience, but I can't think of walking without thinking of my grandmother. Now, my grandmother is in her 90s now, and she has and has always had a very keen mind. But something that you would notice about my grandmother, even if you are young and fit, walking with her is a challenge. And not because she walks slowly, but because she walks really, really fast. Even in her old age, I'm not kidding, she walks really fast. I think anyone in this room would find it quite an experience walking with her, keeping in step with her. Now, Paul uses similar language when he describes the life of a follower of Jesus. He urges his listeners to walk by the Spirit. He describes the Christian as being led by the Spirit. He says we live by the Spirit. He urges us, at the end of today's passage, to keep in step with the Spirit. As Christians, we're not walking through life on our own. We're walking with the Holy Spirit. We walk by the Holy Spirit, by the strength that the Holy Spirit provides. Our life, individually and collectively, is about following the lead of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit set the direction and set the pace. We are to keep in step, to walk beside, to walk closely, to keep up with the Holy Spirit. Now, perhaps you noticed as we read the passage together just a moment ago, do keep it open in front of you, that just as Paul repeatedly refers to the Spirit, he also refers again and again to the flesh. When Paul talks about the flesh, he's not merely talking about our skin or our bodies. That's probably what we would first think of when we hear the word flesh. But the flesh is shorthand for, basically, the person that you used to be. And Paul makes clear, look, that person that you used to be is dead. That person you used to be, you crucified, even. But we still feel its presence. We still experience its desires, even. The Holy Spirit has given us new, true, and everlasting life. But as we'll see, walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, is not passive. It's not an easy ride. We see that straight away in verses 16 to 18. Those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit and will experience inner conflict. Those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit and will experience inner conflict. Let's read from verses 16 to 18 again. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the flesh refers to the person that we are by nature, the person we are born as, if you like. But if we are followers of Jesus, the Bible says that that moment that we trusted Jesus and turned around and believed in him, in that moment, God took up residence in us. So the Spirit here is God himself. So that's why when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't say it, we say he, because he's a person, he's God. And we listen, don't we, for his quiet promptings in our hearts. And we follow his leading. And we seek to think how he wants us to think. We seek to love what he loves. But did you notice in those verses that the flesh has desires and the Spirit has desires? Both have desires and they're in conflict. They're constantly clashing and pulling. We're being pulled this way and that. If you're a follower of Jesus today, have you ever experienced that inner conflict? That feeling of being pulled this way and that. Have you ever experienced that tension? Do you sometimes think back and remember that person that you used to be before you became a Christian? Do you ever think about the sins that you used to indulge in and the way that you used to think and feel and the things you used to do? And you feel it sort of pulling you back in. And then maybe just the next moment you feel the Holy Spirit pricking your conscience, reminding you of sin's ugliness and its poison, showing you a better way. And, it looks so good. And yet you feel the urge to sin again. Does that sound familiar to you? Perhaps in the grand scheme of things, you haven't been a Christian very long. And And maybe you're a bit disappointed and discouraged by how much you're tempted to sin, like day by day, hour by hour, even. Maybe you thought, look, the longer that I am a Christian, the less tempted I'll be. Can I encourage you, firstly, if that's you, that the inner conflict is normal? The flesh and the spirit are in conflict. This describes the Christian. The battle inside us will not end until one day when we go to be with Jesus or Jesus returns, whatever happens first. That battle is daily. It's unrelenting. Ask anyone who's been a Christian for a long, long time. But can I encourage you as well that even if you're weary or disappointed or a bit discouraged today, please don't stop caring. Because take courage from verse 16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Change is possible. If we walk by the Spirit, in dependence on Him, as John Stott wrote, we shall still experience temptations, but we won't indulge them. So we can say no to the person that we used to be, not simply by trying harder, but by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Which leads us onto the second section. Those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit and leave behind the person that they used to be. That's our second one. Those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit and leave behind the person they used to be. So we read verses 19 to 21. Let's read those verses again. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a really ugly, awful list, isn't it? And by nature, this is the pattern, this is the stuff that we fall into, isn't it? Some of the words in that list aren't words that we would use very often today, but if we were to unpack it in modern language, it might read sex between unmarried people, unnatural sexual relationships, uncontrolled sexuality, occult and pagan religious practices, hostility towards others, being argumentative and picking fights, jealousy, outbursts of anger, being self-seeking, divisions between people, warring groups and tribalism, desiring what others have, drinking binges, whether alone or with others. I wonder, as we looked at those verses, how long it took you to find yourself in those verses. Because all of us are surely guilty of at least some of those things, if not all of those things. And these, Paul says, are the acts of the flesh. The people that we used to be. And Paul's warning in verse 21 is so strong. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In the Greek, the phrase translated those who live like this means those who habitually, continually, complacently indulge in sin. So it speaks of those who don't feel the need to resist temptation, those who feel no need for confession and repentance. But Paul tells us what's at stake if we don't bother to battle sin. It will kill us in the end. The theologian John Owen was right when he said, "Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." Perhaps this morning you're aware of just having become comfortable with your sin. Perhaps even now the Holy Spirit is just putting his finger on sin that you've been freely indulging, but sin that you need to confess. Perhaps, and I hope you feel that need to repent. Repent just means turn around. To turn away from your sin today. If we belong to Christ Jesus and we're seeking to walk by the Spirit, we need to leave behind the person that we used to be. Paul describes that list as acts of the flesh. So these sins are the visible symptoms of a heart that has rejected God, ultimately. Our rejection of God, our hatred of him, our failure to give him the worship that is rightfully his, means that we cannot live with him in his kingdom. But the Bible says that everyone who turns around, everyone who confesses their sin and asks God for forgiveness, will inherit the kingdom of God. They'll be forgiven for all these things. Any of these things. All these things forgiven. And not because they've earned it, not because they've worked for it, but because Jesus Christ sacrificed his life on the cross and received the punishment we deserve in our place. Jesus, who, as we thought about already this morning, embodied all the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus, who was perfect in every way. In fact, this is what the whole of the letter of Galatians is all about in a nutshell. You can be forgiven by God, acceptable to God, not by doing anything yourself, but simply by believing, simply by receiving. Before we look at the final few verses in this passage, let's just take a moment, shall we? Let's just take a moment to be silent. And in the silence, each of us to pray to the Lord and to allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on anything that we need to confess this morning. Let's confess our sin to him quietly and to receive his gift of forgiveness, his gift of grace. Let's turn to verses 22 to 25 now, our final section. Those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit, and he grows his fruit in their lives. Those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit, and he grows his fruit in their lives. Let's read from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'm always amazed how, despite my ineptitude as a gardener, there is so much life, so much growth in our garden. A recent example, in the middle, and this just, a prime example, in the patio in our garden, just in the middle of our random garden, there's the most beautiful sweet pea plant. You know sweet peas that have the most gorgeous purple and pink flowers? It's just growing through the ground, like through the gaps in the patio. We didn't put that there. I didn't plant it. I haven't. What's that doing there? It's got no business being there. But it's growing. There's life in our garden, breaking through. It's inevitable, isn't it? That because it's a living organism. It's inevitable that a plant would grow and would keep growing and would force its way through the cracks and produce wonderful flowers. So it is that if we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, God himself, remember, he inevitably produces fruit in our lives. Did you notice the contrast, the acts of the flesh in verse 19 and the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22? So this is God's work, producing and cultivating and growing these things in us. Verse 19 to 21 was an ugly list. Verse 22 and 23 is a beautiful list. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We've said already today that these things, when you read a list of the fruit of the Spirit, you're describing Jesus. And so those who belong to Jesus walk by his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. And his Spirit is inside us, changing us, growing his fruit. He does it slowly, really slowly, but surely and certainly. Verse 23 says, against such things there is no law. Now, did you notice that's the second time that Paul has mentioned the law in this passage? The first one was in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So when Paul refers to the law here, he's taking us back again to the very purpose of the book, that there were people in Galatia all those years ago saying, faith in Jesus isn't enough. You must also keep God's law in the Old Testament to be acceptable to him. So perhaps these people were also saying, look, if you don't try and keep the law, then the only alternative is to just fall back into the person you used to be, to fall back into sin. Either it's law or it's indulging sin. But Paul shows here that that is not the case. We're not under the law, which, remember, confines us and convicts us and condemns us ultimately. Instead, we are acceptable because of God's generous gift of grace. And he also, by grace, grows these pleasing fruit in our lives. So is that it? Walking by the Spirit actually sounds quite easy. Just sit back and wait for the love and the joy and the peace to appear in your character. Doesn't sound too hard. But look at verse 24 again. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. As those who belong to Jesus, when we turn from our sin and turn towards Jesus, we figuratively, spiritually, took our old selves and crucified them. It's really graphic if you think about it. But it reflects the decisive and uncompromising way that we are to deal with sin and to deal with the person that we used to be. Sometimes we can peacefully live with our sin or look back slightly wistfully at the person that we used to be and the way that we used to live and the sins we used to take part in. But it's like Paul is saying to us here, like, no, you crucified the old you. You crucified them when you turned around and you repented. So now leave them there. Leave that person on the cross. As Paul says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And this is what it looks like. As Jesus said, remember, taking up your cross daily and following him. Keeping your eyes fixed not on earthly things, but on heavenly realities. Can I encourage you, perhaps if you're feeling discouraged because maybe you can't see the fruit of the Spirit in your own life, or you're discouraged by what you feel is a lack of progress in godliness or Christ-likeness. Maybe you question if the Spirit really is growing these things. Well, can I encourage you to look back, not days and weeks or even months, but years, decades, if you've been a Christian for that long. And see how God has slowly but surely changed you. You could even ask people, if you want to be brave, ask people who have known you all that time how they've seen you grow. I expect you'll be pleasantly surprised. Be assured that God is working in you and in me, in all of us, to slowly, gradually make us reflect his character and to love the things he loves. And lastly, can I urge you, having put your faith in Jesus, having received his free gift of grace, not based on your performance, but his kindness towards you, let's apply ourselves again with his strength to fighting the sin in our hearts, to be crucifying our old selves daily. And not because we want to make ourselves acceptable to God, but because God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And those who belong to Christ Jesus walk by the Spirit. Let's take a moment to pray, just silently on our own, and then in a minute we'll sing our final song. There's a line in our final song that boils it down nicely, boils down Galatians nicely in a way. It says, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. If you're able to, let's stand and sing.